Welcome to Move Wild Podcast. I'm your host, Jake Clapson. The aim of this podcast is to explore, learn, and spread the message of rewilding and natural movement so that we as humans can live in more alignment with our nature and reclaim what it means to be fully alive. The modern world has stripped away so much that used to nourish our mind, body, and soul. This podcast will help illuminate how we can reclaim and restore our innate, wild, capable, and strong spirit. Thanks for joining me on this journey. Welcome back to another episode of Move Wild Podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in today. So today I wanted to share a little bit of my thoughts on balancing stress and rest and recovery and different factors that go into kind of training and health that, you know, different perspectives that people don't necessarily kind of think about in a conventional sense. So, you know, when we're talking about rest and recovery in particular and stress and hormetic stress and chronic stress and reducing stress in our lives in general, it's really a massive piece when it comes to the whole health puzzle, and it's really a massive piece when it comes to training. It's a massive piece when it comes to just general function in life. If you have a highly stressed life, if you are producing, you know, cortisol and adrenaline and you're constantly in a sympathetic state, then you are not going to be able to function at your best. We need both. We need, you know, the rest and digest, which is known as, you know, the parasympathetic kind of side of the nervous system, and we need the sympathetic fight or flight, and I'm going to go into more depth because it's not that simple. It's not, you know, that it's not just two things. It's that there's a spectrum, and there's, you know, that spectrum can kind of be explored, and the you know, there's forms of active rest, and then there's different, you know, types of stress on the body and on the mind that are going to be damaging or hormetic in different loads. So first let's define, you know, hormetic and chronic stress. So pretty much, you know, stress is all around us, and stress is a natural part of life, and stress encourages us to grow, and that is only though when it is in hormetic doses. So hormetic stress is like a stress that we would have experienced throughout most of our evolutionary history. It's, you know, the predator or the hunt. We go out, we experience the stress for a certain amount of time, and then we come back to safety and we come back to comfort, and we are able to organize that stress within our bodies and our minds, and we are able to kind of come back to a place of growth and function so that we can properly operate and properly move forward. So the main factor in hormetic stress is that it's temporary, okay? So it's, yeah, as I said, going out, experience the stress, coming back to a place of comfort, and then in that comfort or in that, you know, quote-unquote home, where we feel safe, we can grow. Okay, so other examples of hormetic stress might be diving into cold water. So cold immersion is a very popular thing. So if I was to stay in that cold water for, you know, an hour or 2 hours or 3 hours or however long, like past what's going to be hormetic, you know, that's when it becomes chronic stress, and that's when it starts breaking me down and I don't actually grow from it because I'm never coming back to a place of comfort, or it's too much of a load for my body to deal with as it's conditioned. And obviously there's different states of conditioning. If you've conditioned your body to be in cold water for an hour, then an hour is not going to break you down. But if you know, all you've ever been exposed to has been 10 minutes max, then, you know, an hour might be too much for your nervous system to handle. So that is hormetic stress: going out, experiencing the stress, and coming back to a place of safety and comfort and rest and digest so that you can process that stress, organize it, and then grow from it. And then chronic stress is the constant load, is the constant stress in our lives. So, you know, the modern world is set up very much in a way where we have chronic stresses. One of the most obvious ones is financial stress. So, you know, you have to go to work every day and have to stress about finances every day. Most people do, not everyone, obviously, in order to survive. And you're constantly in a state of cortisol and stress around, and you associate cortisol and stress around financial matters. There, you know, there's many other examples of that. And obviously, this is only going to be true for some people, but that's a big one for many people. You know, you have sitting in traffic, you have, and not being able to move as well when you're in traffic, you know, sitting in a car and like having someone beep their horn loudly at you, and that, you know, that raises your cortisol and it puts you into fight or flight, but you're not able to move. And then, you know, that happens on a chronic basis day after day after day after day after day, and it builds up, and that stress builds up and it starts to break you down rather than build you up. And another example is overtraining, right? So, you know, training is great, exercise is fantastic, and it is a necessary pillar of health in my belief and in my eyes and from what I understand. But when you train too much, you start to break down rather than build. You know, if I was to train 2 hours a day every day nonstop and never have a day of recovery, never have a day of rest and go hard each training session, that's not actually going to be very beneficial for me in the long run. It's not going to be that, you know, level of hormetic stress that builds me up. It's going to be that chronic stress that breaks me down. So that's the definition between those two things. And it's really crucial to understand those two types of stress when we talk about stress, because obviously we do need stress, and stress actually helps us grow. And if we didn't have any stress in our lives, we wouldn't be going anywhere. And there would be no incentive to do anything. Stress is like the wind blowing up against trees that forces their trunks to grow stronger. If there was no wind, then their trunks would all be very weak. It's the, you know, the currents that force the dorsal fins of orcas to stand upright. There's all these examples in nature. It's just that this manufactured, man-made world often has many things that allow or kind of force us into a state of chronic stress rather than hormetic stress. So on that note, obviously we want to aim to get hormetic stresses in our life and balance that with recovery. So what are hormetic stresses, and what are examples of those, and what are ones that are ancestrally kind of aligned and appropriate and are best for our biology and best for our physiology? So obviously cold is one, and temperature fluctuation in general. So we are, you know, animals, and we evolved in wild landscapes, and nature is constantly changing, constantly fluctuating. The temperature is hot and cold and hot and cold. And, you know, depending on where your ancestors are from, some parts of the world are very cold, some parts of the world are very hot. But our bodies are used to having to deal with temperature fluctuations. They're not used to a static temperature environment like most homes and indoor spaces are set up as, so that, you know, like most homes and indoor spaces and cars and stuff, they have air conditioning to keep us, you know, cool when it's hot outside or hot when it's cold outside. And, you know, those kind of stresses of temperature fluctuation, they're things that our body is used to dealing with, and it's things that are, you know, are going to build us up. So again, it can become chronic if you're not used to it. If you're not conditioned for too much cold immersion, then it's not going to be a good idea to, you know, go to the Arctic and spend 20 days there and expect that you'll be fine. It might be very hard for you, and that's an extreme example, but you get what I mean with that. And you don't want to go to a extremely hot climate and have no ability to come back to a more temperature controlled climate. You want to incrementally expand your range of comfort when it comes to temperature. So temperature is one. Exercise or training is another one. So incrementally again, and understanding where your conditioning level is at, but exposing your body to hard physical tasks, ideally, you know, natural movement out in nature, lifting things, carrying things, running, climbing, jumping, fighting, all of these natural movements that our body are designed for, but also just movement in general that's going to test you and going to build up or put your body under strain and resistance that will help you grow. Sunlight is another one. You know, sunlight is damaging in large doses, so it could be a chronic stress, but in smaller doses it's going to be very beneficial because it gives us all these essential things like such as vitamin D, and that, you know, the sun helps build up a bit of hormetic stress as well. There's many things that we can do ancestrally aligned, and I try and teach the concept that we should try more to just look at what is ancestrally appropriate rather than compartmentalize all these boxes of like training and sunlight and cold exposure. You know, I could be doing all those things all at once. I could be free diving, or I could be, you know, running on the beach, and, you know, I'm getting sunlight there, I might be getting cold exposure, whatever it is. But trying to align all these things and integrate all these things into a holistic practice so that we're not compartmentalizing everything. I'm not training in a gym and then going and lying in the sun and then jumping in an ice bath. The more I can integrate those different things, the better. And there's many different hormetic stresses, of course. So on the flip side of that, when we expose ourselves to hormetic stress, we need to make sure that we're recovering properly, because if we're not recovering properly, if we're not resting properly, then we're not going to get the growth that we kind of induced during that hormetic, that hormesis. So if I was to go and train, but then I don't end up eating anything, or I don't end up like resting properly, I'm not going to get any gains from that training. I'm not going to develop conditioning from that training, because I'm not coming back to a place of home, to back to a place of safety and comfort that my body knows. So it's really important that we ensure that we have proper rest and recovery protocols in place, because they're so easy to overlook, and it's so easy to overlook them in a fast-paced, busy world. And it is, I can't stress enough that it is really important to have these things. I struggle with it sometimes as well, not resting and recovering enough, and I see the results of that when I don't do it. So it's really important to do these things. So really, again, emphasizing that this is a place of home or comfort. So for different people, that might be different things. But the more you can come back to something you're comfortable with, and that doesn't have to be something passive. It can be active rest. It can be going for a walk. It can be lying in the sun. It can be swimming. It can be socializing. It can be sleep. It can be reading a book. It can be, you know, doing all these things. But essentially, what you want to think about is putting your nervous system into a state that tells it that you are safe, you're at home, and you know there's nothing stressing you, there's nothing bothering you, and you can just relax, you can switch off, and there's nothing up. Again, this is, you know, it's very hard to cultivate in the modern world, but it's very much something that we felt ancestrally. It's not normal to feel constantly stressed or constantly not at home or constantly not in our environment, and it's very normal and ancestrally aligned, and what our biology kind of expects, to be in a place where we can relax and to be, you know, in the village, so to speak, by the fire, talking to people we know. And the more that you can kind of create that environment in your life, you know, you're going to have better results when it comes to rest and recovery, and you're going to have better results when it comes to exposing yourselves to hormesis and these hormetic stresses. And you're going to be able to do it more often, because the safer that you feel and the more time that you have in a place where you feel at home, the more your nervous system realizes that it's, you know, it's stronger and it's more capable, and it will allow you to do those more stressful things. So really creating that sense of safety is a crucial thing in rest and recovery. So that's kind of my thoughts for today that I wanted to share with you guys. And I wanted to really emphasize that we do need both. We need hormetic stresses and we need rest and recovery. And so often in the modern world, we have chronic stresses and no hormetic stress, or little hormetic stress, and we have no real place of rest and recovery. So the more that we can create that, the healthier we will be, the happier we will be. I've definitely found that in my life and the people that I work with. And yeah, I think it's really something important and that I wanted to share today. So thank you guys so much for listening in. Hope you got value out of this episode. If you are getting value out of these podcasts, and if you are getting value in general out of what I'm producing, then please take a screenshot of this episode and share it on Instagram or whatever social media platform you use, and tag me. Let me know your thoughts. Leave us a rating and review if you haven't done so already. And again, I really appreciate you guys listening in. I will catch you on the next episode of Move Wild Podcast, coming out on Tuesday.